Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We covered the first 20 verses of Mark 4 this morning, and we are continuing a little bit in Mark through the next four verses, through verses 21 through 25. It has a similar theme to some of what was touched on this morning, and every once in a while, as a preacher, I get this urge to apologize for certain things, and then I have to remember I shouldn't be apologizing because this is exactly what Jesus was doing. Here was a message that was concerning listening, concerning the sower and the seed and the soil, but then Jesus comes back again and emphasizes the need to listen, the need to hear what is being spoken, and that is so important for us to do. That we have to hear exactly what God is saying, that it is incumbent upon us to preach that as well. So often in life, we have expectations, whether it's expectations for something to happen or for something to happen a certain way. But oftentimes, we have expectations that we don't even realize because we expect things to be a certain way, and when they're not, we may not even realize it. We expect to see something, and well, we'll see it that way. That is often the case when people are reading the scriptures. They're expecting to see something, and so they see it, instead of looking at the scriptures afresh, if possible, and finding what the scripture says. But we have this issue, and it's true when we see something, it's also true when we hear something. We expect a particular answer. Frequently, my children will ask me for something, and they'll be expecting a yes. And I may say no, and they're already doing or getting the thing that they had asked for because they were expecting that particular answer. And our ears are attuned to what we want. Our eyes are attuned to what we want. And so it is difficult to see what's truly there or to hear what is truly being said. This problem is not just a modern problem. It is a problem that has gone on through the centuries. And the Jews of the day of our Lord were especially susceptible to it. The Jews were expecting something in particular when the Messiah arrived on the scene. And Jesus really is going to have to get them lost before they can be found. The coin has to be lost before you can find the coin. And the Jews thought they were already found, and they had to be lost first. And we're going to talk about that as we go forward. But just keep in mind that there are times where we see things a certain way, and they may not actually appear that way. When I was in university, they were trying to show us this point, and they showed us a picture. They asked half of the assembled group to close their eyes, and they showed a picture. And the picture looked like a very old and frail woman who was bent over with age, with many wrinkles. And then they asked that group to close their eyes and the other group to open their eyes because they showed another image. And this was of a woman who seemed to be very sophisticated and very young, maybe from the 1920s or 1930s. And then they asked both groups to close their eyes. And then they put this image on the screen again, and both groups opened their eyes, and both images were there, but each group could only see the image that they had been prepared to see, even though they were melted together, and you could actually see both images at the same time. That's the way it is so frequently, and it takes hard, diligent work for it not to be that way, to see all of what is there, and not just a portion. I'm going to read five verses from Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid, which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. So, first off, the first thing that we need to notice is the need to listen, the need to hearken. We talked about this some this morning. The idea that Jesus so frequently throughout this chapter of Mark uses that word to hear or hearken. It's a very emphatic word. We ought to be listening very intently. We have to have ears to hear what the Spirit says unto us. That is the theme in the book of Revelation to the seven churches. Let him who hath ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It is incumbent upon us to hear what God's Word says. It is not an easy thing. You have to concentrate. You have to focus and not let your mind wander to other things. I know it is especially difficult for those that are young to do that, especially for long periods of time. But it is the words of life. It's incumbent to listen, to hear these things. We read Isaiah chapter 6 for our scripture reading, and you see this picture of Isaiah, and he sees in the year that King Uzziah dies, he sees the temple of the Lord in heaven. And he said, his train, his glory is filling the temple, and smoke is filling the temple. And the seraphim are giving honor and glory to the Lord. And Isaiah humbles himself before the Lord and feels the weight of his sin and the weight of the sin of the people. And he cries out, "Woe is me." And then he has forgiven his sin through the blood of Christ. Because the altar, the stone from the altar is taken and applied to him. And what happens? The Lord wants to send someone. Wants to send someone to speak to the people. And Isaiah says, "I'll go." And the job that is given to him is not an easy one. It's not a simple task. You know, if the Lord says, "Oh, Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to tell them what they need to hear, and they're all going to flock to hear you," that'd be an easy job, wouldn't it? But the Lord says, "No, I want you to say my words, but they won't listen. I want you to show them, but they will not see." And Isaiah says, "But how long will this take place?" And the Lord says, "It's going to be long after you're dead before they start to listen, before they start to see." You see, each of us needs to hear. We each need a conversion. We each need our heart to be changed from what it is or was to something new, a new creation, being born again. And then when you do hear, don't understand, ask. Focus and pay attention and ask questions. There's that old phrase, "There is never a stupid question." But that's the truth. There may be silly answers, maybe a silly question, but it's never a stupid one because there is an answer to it and it points to the Lord. So here is Jesus, and he's saying this again. We've talked about the parable going on before, about the gospel going forth and being broadcast. And so many seem like, well, this is very difficult to understand. And even the disciples come and ask this question, what does this mean? And why can't everybody else understand it? And this idea that the gospel is being veiled, is being hidden, that's the impression that's given. But that's an incorrect impression. That's what we're expecting to see. And the problem is that the Jews of the day were expecting a Messiah. A Messiah that was going to rule and reign with an iron fist, with that rod of iron that's talked about in Psalm 2. And that he was going to put down the Romans. And he's going to set up the kingdom of Israel as the kingdom that's going to consume the entire earth. And that's their impression. That's what's focused upon. And that's you say, well, how is it then that they're not understanding? Why isn't Jesus being very clear with them? Well, he is being very clear with them. He's teaching them something. And unfortunately, in our day and age, we don't understand that. He's teaching them that they're not secure. That because they're a child of Abraham, they're not automatically going to be in the kingdom of God. That they are not, just by their birthright, going to be a Christian. That they're not, just because of their birthright, going to walk right in. That there needs to be a change. But they don't understand they need a Savior because they think they already have been saved. And so they need to unlearn that. They have to be lost. They have to discover that they're on a sinking ship and there's no way off except through the Savior. it seems that the gospel is being obscured, but it's not being obscured. It's being prepared. It's being, here is the sower, and this is the work of the Lord. He's preparing the ground. He's breaking up the ground that seems so good, to letting them know this is not good ground. They had to be confused. They had to find themselves in a situation where they didn't have the answer among themselves. You see, you notice that the Jews, throughout the Gospels, they never disbelieved the miracles of Jesus Christ. You never find them saying, no, he didn't really raise Lazarus from the dead. You never find them saying, no, he didn't really heal this blind man. No, he didn't really make this lame man walk. What do they claim? Well, he's doing it through the power of Beelzebub. He's doing it for some other purpose. They never said, no, he can't do these things. They just said he's not from God. There was never a struggle with what he was doing. It was with what he was teaching. Because they thought they were secure. They thought they were all right. And they needed to realize that they were lame, that they were blind, that they were dead, and that they needed someone to come and heal their blindness, to heal their deafness, to make them be able to speak again, to raise them to new life. And so we have this portion here. He says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Jesus didn't come and teach in these parables to make it so that no one could understand. Why would he come if that was the case? No, he came so that people will understand, but first people have to understand one thing, that they need a Savior. If they don't understand that, then there is no point in telling them about the Savior. If they feel they're secure, then they're never going to feel the need to have a lock on the door. You have to help people to understand, first of all, their need before they can hear that there is someone that can meet that need. And so the candle is not brought up forward to be put under a bushel. It's not brought forward to be hidden. But it first needs to have one step to be accomplished. You need to realize that we're sinners in need of forgiveness, in need of a Savior. It is not easy work, but it's work that needs to be done. And so, the gospel is not being hid. It's actually being revealed. You cannot have the gospel where there is no need, where there is no feeling of illness. Jesus says to the Pharisees that he did not come to those that were well. He came to those that had need of a physician. He didn't come to the healthy, he came to the sick. And so people need to realize their sickness. And Paul says in Romans chapter 16, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but it now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The gospel has been proclaimed. It's been shouted out loud. It is something, and it was there in the Old Testament. But it wasn't seen in the Old Testament, was it? Because when Paul was converted and the scales dropped from his eyes, what's the first thing he does after he's baptized? He goes forward and he preaches Christ and proves from the Old Testament that he is the very Christ, that he is the Messiah. It's there, but people didn't expect it to be there. They didn't see it. And so they needed these things to be revealed unto them. And the gospel is now made manifest. And it is declared by the prophets. It's declared through the gospels. It's declared through the New Testament. And the candle needs to burn. It needs to burn brightly. The gospel needs to be preached. We will give an account of what we have been given. Now that's true for a banker. A banker is going to have to give an account of the money that you've invested in the bank. But if you're a Christian, that's true for you as well. Because God has invested in you. He's invested His Son in you. He's invested His Spirit in you. You can look in, we're not going to turn there, but you can think about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Here is Jesus Christ, and He says, here is a master, and He gives five talents to one man, and three to another, and one to another. And He goes into a far country. And the one with 5 talents, he invests and he works hard and he brings back 10 talents to his master when his master returns. And then the second man, he has 3 talents and he acts the same way as the first and he brings back 6 talents to the master. But the one that was only given one, only one bar of gold, if you will, he takes that and he buries it because he's a bit afraid and he doesn't want the master to be upset with him, and so he buries it in the sand so nobody even knows that he has it. And when the master comes and he says, here's your 1 talent back, here's your 1 bar of gold back. And then the master says, well, why did you not do nothing? And he said, well, I knew you were a man that was expecting great things, and so I didn't want to lose what I had. Jesus says, to him that hath, it shall be taken. So that he that has much, more will be given. And he says, well, wait a second, how does that make any sense? How does that make any sense? But that's exactly what Jesus is speaking about. 1 Peter chapter 4, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've been given a gift. It's our duty and responsibility to share that gift, to reinvest that gift with others. It's shared from faith to faith. The seed is to be proclaimed. It's to be broadcast. The gospel is to go forth. And it is the duty of every single light bearer, every little Christian, every little Christ, every little anointed one, to bear that light, to cast that seed. That's the way God has ordained it to be. That's the light of the candle. We're not going to hide that. We're not going to, if God has sent his son to die for you, why would you hold that back? That's not the mark of a Christian. It's to proclaim it. It's to let other people know. It's to share what God has done for you with others. That's the mark of a Christian. And so Jesus is telling us that the gospel is not hid. It's not to be closed off. It's not to be shut up in a room and kept only for those who believe. No, it's to be broadcast, spread abroad, so that all can hear, because we don't know the type of soil that it will land upon. We don't know the soil, whether it's going to be good soil or rocky, whether it's going to be good soil or thorny, or good soil the wayside. And so we broadcast it. We shout it forth everywhere that it can go. And so as this is taking place, what does Jesus continue to say? He's saying the gospel is on, you don't hide it. It's going to go forth. This parable doesn't obscure it. It's making it clear. But if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what you hear. There's a lot of things that are said in the world, aren't there? There's a lot of things that are said in churches. Take heed what you hear. This is the idea of the Bereans. We have to investigate what we're listening to. Is it scriptural or is it not scriptural? If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. The preaching of the gospel is a means of grace. This is the way God has ordained it. This is not something that I've made up. In Romans 10, Paul says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you see how that works? For some reason, God in his infinite wisdom ordained that the gospel is going to go forward from a book, but it's not going to be because you've read it. It's going to be because you've heard it. You've heard it broadcast by someone else who believes the book. That's how God has ordained it to go forward, by the foolishness of preaching. And it's not just the preacher standing in a pulpit. Wherever the gospel is shared, that is the preaching of the gospel. And it goes forward, and that's how God has done it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's when you hear God's word. In Ephesians, Paul says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's about hearing, isn't it? It's about hearing. I've heard the gospel. It took me years as I had heard the gospel before I came to faith in Jesus Christ. But I heard it time and again before I was ever interested in sit down and read the book. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Spirit of God works through the preaching of his word. That's how it is manifest. And so if that's the way that it's manifest, it is incumbent upon us to listen appropriately, to take heed what we listen to. If we're listening to good things, what's going to come out of us? Good things. If we're listening to bad things, what's going to come out of us? Bad things. My mother always used to say, even though she was a very poor eater herself, you are what you eat. Trying to get me to eat healthy when I kept watching her not eat healthy. Well, I find that I'm doing the same thing to my children, that I'm not eating healthy, and I'm trying to get them to do what I'm not doing. And you are what you eat, boys, but it doesn't work very well, does it? Because I'm not putting good things in, they're not going to put good things in. And it's so hard to overcome something like that. But that's exactly the truth of God's Word. We are what we listen to. What are we listening to? Are we listening to things that tickle our ears, that so many do today? Are we listening to things that will just make us feel good about ourselves, build up our self-esteem? Are we listening to the truth of God's Word? Are we looking for something specifically and expecting to find it? You certainly will. People can wrest the Word of God to their own damnation over and over and over again, and they do. Why? Because they're wresting it to what they want. That is the definition of heresy. No, we look in the book to look and understand and read and understand and hear and understand to make sure that what we're listening to is the Word of God and not man's word. One commentator said, one cannot sow wild oats during the week and pray for a crop failure on Sunday. It doesn't work that way, does it? But we see people like that all the time. They're constantly putting awful things in to their mind, and then they expect on Sunday to be able to focus on the Lord. Well, that doesn't manifest. It doesn't work that way. The Bible, and we're not going to go tremendously into it, but the Bible talks about the law of the harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I can understand that if you plant corn, you're not going to get wheat. If I plant an apple tree, I'm not going to get an orange tree. I should expect, if anything's going to grow, that what I've planted will grow. If I planted green beans, I'll get green beans. I won't get tomatoes. That's the way it's going to work. Well, that's the law of the harvest. And that applies to our spiritual lives as well. If we're putting in rubbish in our minds because of whatever means, whether it's the people we're around or the things that we see, the things that we listen to. I know so many people just turn the TV, there's always noise. If we're constantly doing those things, what can we expect to come out? What can we expect to grow within us? Those very things we put in. We can't expect to keep putting those types of things in and good things to come out. We've got to put good things in. When I was in the U.S., I was a pharmaceutical representative for a while, and I had to do a lot of driving. And I found it very tedious at times. But then at some point someone said, oh, you should look at this particular website because they have so many good gospel sermons on there. And so when I was driving, I started with my device, I was able to listen while I was driving to these messages. And it was such a blessing. And as I look back on it, I received so much of a blessing and I grew so much spiritually just by having those messages playing instead of listening to sports radio or music or whatever else it may have been. Because the Lord was using that to cause me to grow. And I was getting sermon ideas. I was getting wonderful things were coming out of me because of what the Lord was putting into me. We have to be diligent. We have to work hard at what we listen to, what we allow entrance into our bodies. Because Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That's what we're surrounded with. There are people that want certain things. They want to hear certain things. They want to be built up and to be accepted as they are without any change taking place. It's great to accept someone as they are, but God changes people. He doesn't keep them the same way. He makes us a new creation, and our lives conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So, yes, accept them as they are, and expect to see a change. Not because of some legalism, but because that's what God does. And when we don't see that, you can recognize they're having some itching ears. That's what's taking place. Because they're accepting them as they are, and they never change. There's never a metamorphosis that takes place. But Paul tells Timothy, keep preaching. Keep preaching. Keep preaching sound doctrine. Why? Because they need to hear. So the question comes, are we hearing? What are we hearing? And then be diligent with it. It sounds very similar, these two things, to take heed, to hear what we are hearing, but then you have to be diligent with it. Because Jesus says, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. See, when you hear the word of God, it's not to just sit there. It's not to just ruminate inside you and it never go anyplace. God doesn't work that way because it's from faith to faith. It's an action faith. That's what faith is. It moves you. It may move you in the same spot, but it moves you to the point that you're going to have an effect and an influence on other people. When Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, that's because Paul has invested in Timothy. And Timothy is now investing in others. And there will be others that Timothy had invested in that they'll invest in others. And we are, if you're a Christian today, you're a result of that investment. And what the Lord has designed is that there will be others that will be a result of that investment because they touched you. We will be giving an account. We talked about the parables of the talent. There is an account of what we've been given with what we've listened to. With what we do with what we're listening to. Does it just sit there? I've known some churches that were incredibly knowledgeable of who God was and who God is. And of God's word. But they never went outside the walls of the building. That's not the way it ought to be, folks. It ought to go forth. Because that's exactly what the parable of the sower is all about. That's exactly what Jesus is saying with the candle on the candlestick. You don't put a bushel over top of it. You don't hide it within the walls of a building. It goes forward. Because that's exactly how you came to faith. Because someone told you. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's the cry of so many today. But it's all about wealth, isn't it? The rich get more money and the poor have less money. And the gap seems to be widening. But did you know that's a spiritual truth? That the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You say, well, how do you find that in the Bible? Well, look exactly what Jesus says here. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. You say, well, I don't understand. It's not an easy thing to wrap your mind around, but to those who receive truth and act upon it, they receive more truth. The more, if you believe a small snippet, the Lord will give you more to understand. And when you act upon that small snippet, the Lord will give you more responsibility to act upon that more truth that he gives you. That's the parable of the talents all over again. But when that one servant, he hides it in the ground, what takes place? It's removed from him. You see, what happens if someone is given truth and they don't believe it? And they don't trust it? That truth is being taken away. You proclaim the gospel to someone and they don't believe. You proclaim Jesus Christ and they say, no, that's just a fairy tale. Well, that's going to be removed from them, isn't it? There's going to come a time if they don't trust Christ, they'll not have that truth. They're going to die without him. James chapter 4, James is speaking, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James is saying the same thing. Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's the rich get richer. The more you're trusting Christ, the more things he's going to put in your life that will make you trust him more. The more you're going to see the truth of God's word when you see who he is. You're going to be just like Moses when he's on the mountain and God has answered his prayer. He'll go with the Israelites and Moses says, I want to see more of your glory. He showed him more of his glory. He revealed unto him his name in a longer fashion. And Moses lived in light of that and he learned more of who God is throughout his life. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of walking with him. That the more you trust, the more you will receive the trust. That doesn't mean it's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. More than not, it's going to be hard. There's going to be struggles along the way. You're going to get knocked down time and time again. And it's not about how many times you get up. It's about God lifting you up time and time again. That's what it's about. And he's going to give you more grace. And he's going to give you more knowledge. He's going to give you more understanding. He's going to give you more truth. But when you receive those truths and you don't act upon those truths and you don't trust those truths, then it starts to dwindle. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, we've seen people in churches. They're Christians. They trust Christ. But there seems to be no vibrance to them. Why is that? Because something has happened where they've become stagnant. And they're not trusting, they're not walking in the same truths that they were years before. And you pray that the Lord would work in there, and the Lord would move in there, and he would wake them up so that they start trusting again. And so they would move from being someone with 3 talents to someone with 5 talents. And investing those things that the Lord has given them instead of sitting upon them. But what does it all come back to? It comes back to hearing. Comes back to that, what we hear. What do we listen to? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Hearken to the word of God. Listen to what he has to say. Take heed. This is your responsibility. It is not the responsibility of the pastor. It is not the responsibility of the preacher. It is the responsibility of the person sitting down and listening to a sermon to take heed what you hear. It's the responsibility of the preacher and the pastor to make sure of what they're saying. It is your responsibility to take heed what you hear. Is it in God's word? Is it there for you to understand? Is it going to glorify God? Is it going to magnify his name? Are you trusting? You can't do any of those things without hearing. Hearing the words of truth. That's where faith comes from. Are we hearing God's word today? We point you to Christ. Amen.